They like to say he was mad, as though that paid for all. But I saw him sane as well as mad, and a vile, cruel bastard he was, as foul as Caligula or Attila, and got only a tiny part of what he deserved. I remember Gondar and the slaughter of Islamgi, and if anyone ever deserved a hell, he did. Meanwhile, the campaign was done, the captives free, Magdala in immense confusion, with thousands of Ab fugitives to be looked after, herded down into the plain and protected from the surrounding Gallas, who, not unreasonably, were athirst for a share of the loot of the amber. They were disappointed, for the Micks and sappers and little homes of the British Museum got in first, and the Gallas were dispersed by rifle fire, which I thought a mite hard, since their blockade had been so vital to our success. As to the loot, I heard there was a fair amount of precious stuff picked up, but most of it was bought up by the prize master and sent down to Aragi on the elephants. For once, and for the only time in my experience of 60 years soldiering in heaven knows how many campaigns, there was no butcher's bill. We hadn't lost a man in storming Magdala, just 17 wounded, and with only 2 dead at Aragi and 1 careless chap who shot himself accidentally on the march up, I doubt if we had more than 6 fatalities in the whole campaign, mortally sick included. If there was nothing else to testify to Napier's genius, that casualty return alone would do, for I never heard of its like in war. I spent only 1 night on the Magdala Amber, for the place was as foul as a midden, and became a positive bedlam when the looters discovered a great cachet of Tej in the royal cellar. Private Shaughnessy and his chums came calling, eager to pay their respects and inquire after my health. Sir Harry, man dear. It's hell to be popular with the riff-raff. So, after seeing Theodore planted, I took a mule down to Napier's headquarters at Aragi, and found myself a billet with Charlie Fraser, who commanded the staff and was colonel in my old regiment, the 11th Cherry Pickers. Not that it was much quieter there, for there were upwards of 30,000 Abs about the place, warriors as well as civilians who'd fled from Magdala. Among them were the 2 queens, Turuwalk and Tamagno, and their retinues, and nearly 300 of Theodore's political prisoners, princes and chiefs who'd been in the Amber's jails. Some of them had been in captivity for 15 or 20 years, and one for more than 30. I'd been lucky. The great tyrant had held me for less than a week, and now it was all over. The captains and the queens would shortly be departing, and I could rest content at last, with only a mild ache in my calf, and take my ease after dangers and hardships nobly borne, resigned to endure the discomfort of a ride to the coast, followed by a tranquil voyage home at HMG's expense. "You've come through again, old lad," thinks I. "No public credit, perhaps, but Napier's right. You ain't short in that line. 500,000 in silver through your hands, and not a penny of it to bless yourself with, but what of that? Elspeth and I had enough between us." And the mere thought of her name brought the glorious realization that in a few short weeks I'd be reunited with all that glorious milk-white goodness that had been lying fallow, I hoped, but with her you could never tell, while I'd been wasting myself on Mexican trollops and suety fraulines and black barbarians. I could close my eyes and see her, taste her red lips, inhale the perfume of her blonde curls. Oh, the blazes with gallivanting about the world. I was for home for good this time, and the sooner Napier broke camp and marched north, the better. At that, he stayed not upon the order of his going. With Theodore dead, Abyssinia was without a ruler, and while Napier was adamant that the succession was no business of ours, he felt bound to settle the possession of Magdala itself, and ensure the safety of its inhabitants. That, he insisted, was a matter of national honour. But Magdala was the first horn of his dilemma. It lay in Gala territory, but Theodore had captured and held it for 10 years as a bulwark against Muslim encroachment on Christian Abyssinia, and Napier didn't want to change that. So it was decided to offer the amber to Gubaizi of Leicester, the closest available Christian monarch. From all I'd heard, he was a sorry muffin, but it was no concern of mine, although I'd have given the place to Mastiat for old Gallop's sake. She had the same notion, as did Borkaiti, her elder sister and rival for the supreme monarchy of all the Gala tribes. With Ulaba now singing in the choir invisible, they were the only claimants to the throne. And, sure enough, within 2 days of the fall of Magdala,